Greetings and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in the fifth chapter of Masechet Sotah. And as I mentioned in the previous podcast, because of the way that this chapter is structured, we're going to go back to the Mishnah, which is in Daf Chav Zayin Amud Bet, take a look at Mishnah Bet, and then go ahead to Daf Chav Tet Amud Aleph and analyze the attendant Gemara, which will take us near the end of the chapter. Bo Bayom Darash Rabbi Akiva. If you're looking in the Mishnayot, it's Mishnah Bet. If you're looking in the Gemara, then it is about the third or fourth line after the beginning of the chapter. Bo Bayom Darash Rabbi Akiva. Uchli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho, kol asher betocho yitma. One quick introduction. The context of this pasuk is immediately after a description of the eight rodents who, if dead, create tuma called shratzim. And the pasuk says, if you have a kli cheres, which means an earthenware vessel, that one of them, meaning a dead sheretz, falls into it, anything in it, yitma, is tamei. Now, we'll explain what that means. In other words, if a dead sheretz falls into the airspace of an earthenware vessel, then anything else that's in that vessel, for instance, food, is now yitma. Rabbi Akiva then infers as follows, Eino omer tamei ela yitma. The pasuk doesn't say kol asher betocho tamei, which means it's the recipient of tuma, but rather yitma, and the way he's reading it is letamei acherim. In other words, it has the ability to generate tuma one step further. What does that mean? Limed al kikar sheni shemetamei et hashlishi. Now, Rabbi Akiva is coming to the following conclusion based on the way that he reads the pasuk. You have a sheretz. A sheretz is an av hatuma. The sheretz falls into the airspace of the klicheres, not touching the klicheres at all. That means the klicheres is now a rishon latuma. Also in the klicheres is some food. That food is now a sheni latuma. It's two stages away from the original source of the tuma. And then the way that the pasuk is worded, yitma, the implication is it can be metame further, which means that the Torah recognizes, according to Rabbi Akiva, three stages of tuma away from the original source, even in the area of chulin, of non-sanctified food. That is what Rabbi Akiva understands from the pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, so Rabbi Yoshua then commented on what his student Rabbi Akiva said, Mi galer afar me'enecha Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. So he spoke about one of his teachers, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who said, who will clear the earth from your eyes? In other words, halavai, you were here today. You're no longer here. I wish you could come back from the dead, because you said, Shaita omer atid dor acher letaher kikar shlishi. A future generation is going to overturn our ruling and declare a third stage bread or a third stage food tahor she'eno mikra mina torah shutameh, and the reason you say that is because they're going to claim there is no pasuk in the Torah to support it being tameh, which raises a very interesting question: is then when Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai's generation, why did they say it was tameh if they couldn't find a pasuk? We'll see. Follow Rabbi Akiva, talmidcha mevilo mikra mina torah shutameh. Rabbi Akiva, your disciple, is now proving. It wasn't a direct disciple of Yochanan ben Zakkai, but he's saying that sort of colloquially, is bringing a verse in the Torah that indicates it is tamei shenamar kol asher betocho yitma. That's the Mishnah. Now, the gist of the Mishnah is as follows, and as promised, I would explain what all the Mishnayot in this parak have in common and why they're brought together here. What is this Mishnah about tum'ah and about tumat sheretz and tumat klicheres and shlishi l'tumah doing in the middle of Sotah? But first to the gist of the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva takes a look at the pasuk, and the pasuk seems to be describing three different components. That is, the sheretz that fell into the klicheres. The klicheres now generates tuma to something else that's in it, which is now two stages away. But the way that the Torah described the tuma on that second thing is a generator of tuma, which means the Torah is recognizing that even outside of things that are sanctified, like Truma and Kodshim, there are three stages of Tuma after the source. And then Rabbi Shua turned and said, in the earlier generation, they held that to be the case, but not from Psukim. And they were concerned that a later generation would overturn their ruling, claiming there are no Psukim. And here, Rabbi Akiva found a Pasuk. Very nice. Now, you notice that the beginning of the Mishnah has the two introductory words, Bo Bayom, on that very day. Which day is that? So from a simple read of the chapter, it would be the same day that Rabbi Akiva gave the drasha about Nitma'a v'Nitma'a in Mishnah Aleph. And then that would seem to tie together the rest of the Mishnayot that all start with Bo Bayom, as if there was a great gathering of Chachamim, and several famous drashot were said on that day. And the truth is, we'd be very happy to say that that which ties this perek together is two things. One, these are all rulings that, at least in their essential component, remember in the first Mishnah we also have Rebbe, a lot, 100 years later, but in their essential structure, were all rulings issued on that day. We don't know what day it is yet. Second thing is that all of them are drashot. All of them are taking psukim and utilizing them by a careful read, either by repetition, by the extra vav, by the way that they're worded, the nuance of yitma versus tamei, and we'll see further. And the result of that coming out with some sort of a conclusion, as we will see, Mishnah Aleph, Bet, and Gimel are all halachic conclusions. Mishnah Dalet and Hey are agadic conclusions. But nonetheless, that's what they would have in common. However, we have a very famous story in the fourth chapter of Masachet Brachot detailing the ouster of Rabban Gamliel as the head of the Gamliel of Yavne, the second Rabban Gamliel, as the head of the Sanhedrin, because of his treatment of Rabbi Yoshua, and that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaryah was named to the post in his place. And on the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaryah was invested, there was a great gathering of Chachamim that came into the Beit Midrash, and all of Masachet Eduyot was taught on that day, and the Gemara and Daf Chafchet Amud Aleph in Brachot says that every time it says the word Bo Bayom, it's a reference to that day. So now we know what day it is. It's the day that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yoshua were there, and Gamliel himself came there. We're going to find other Chachamim there that participate in this gathering. Rabbi Shua ben Hurkanus is also there, as we will see in the last Mishnah. Okay, that's what ties them together. And again, thematically and content-wise, there is nothing that ties them together. The context and the style of what's being taught is what ties them together. Okay, let's take a look now at the Gemara analyzing this Mishnah, which is ahead on Dav Chavtet Amud Aleph. Now, so now our question goes on Rabbi Yeshua's statement. Why in Rabbi Yocham and Zakkai's generation did they, at that point, feel that there was no pasuk to support a shlishi latuma, and nonetheless they held it, that was the case, that it is tamei? So Rav's explanation is, min ha-Torah ein lo midin kal v'chomer yesh lo. In other words, they felt that a shlishi letuma is a recognized category in chulin, not because of a pasuk, but because of a kal v'chomer. And let's hear what it is. Uma tvul yom shemutar b'chulin, a tvul yom, meaning somebody who is tamei, and on the last day of their tuma, they've already gone to the mikvah. From the time that they've gone to the mikvah until nightfall, they have a status of tvul yom. A tvul yom is immediately permitted, as soon as gone to the mikvah, to touch chulin, to be involved with chulin. Nonetheless, post-silba truma, if he touches truma, the truma becomes invalid. He has to wait till nightfall. So kikar sheni, so a second stage tuma, shepasul b'chulin, that we recognize, certainly we will all recognize that a second stage tuma is a recognized category of tuma b'chulin from the pasuk. So here's what the Kal V'Chomer is. If a Tvul Yom, who has no effect whatsoever on Chulin, nonetheless, if he touches Truma, it's invalid. So certainly, if a Kikar Sheni, which is certainly Pasul for Chulin, certainly will make a Shlishi B'Truma. Right now, That means in the earlier generation, they had only gotten so far as saying there is a recognized slishi for truma, but not for chulin. Now, ikal mifrach, you could challenge that kal v'chomer. Malat tful yom shekein avatuma. After all, the tful yom himself was an avatuma. Let's say it was a zav, or a metzora, or tmeimet. He himself was an avatuma, as opposed to the loaf. In the case that we have in the Torah, which never was the source of tumah, it was just part of a chain. So then the answer is teiti mitful yom de sheretz. So we could use a tful yom as an example of a sheretz, or tful yom of an avela, or tful yom of any circumstance where the person wasn't the source of tumah but had touched tumah. He's also a tameh. If a person touches a dead rodent, one of the eight dead rodents, then he's tamei, goes to the mikveh, he's a tful yom de sheretz. So we answer that, mala tful yom de sheretz, shekein b'mino avatuma. After all, even though he himself is not an avatuma, nonetheless, as a human being, he's somebody who could be an avatuma. Food can never be an avatuma. So the answer is kli cheres yochiach. Kli cheres will prove that that's not the case, because a kli cheres can never itself become an avatuma, and nonetheless, it is posel truma. So mala kli cheres, shekein metamim me'aviro. Kli cheres is strange in itself, in that, as we noted in the Mishnah, a kli cheres can become tamei by something falling into its airspace without touching it, which is not true about anything else. So the answer is tful yom yochiach. So we go back to tful yom, which does not have that oddity, and nonetheless, it is metamei. And basically, we've whittled it down to find that there must be a common denominator between kli cheres and tful yom, away from the things that are unique to them, that which they share, and that's how we do the following. Chozer Adin, lo rizek rizev, lo rizek rizev, which means neither perspective is the full panorama, because after all, it can't be that kli cheres is the only, it's because of the unique chumra of kli cheres mitamim me'aviro that it's posel b'truma, and it can't be because of the unique chumra of a tful yom that it, because it itself, he himself, or one like him could be an avatuma, that, it has the ability to make a shlishi. It must be something they have in common. Hatsara shaveshven, what do they have in common? Shimutarin bechulin, apostolim bitruma. They don't affect chulin, they do affect truma. So kol shekin kikar sheni, shaposel bechulin to posel bitruma. So certainly, a kikar sheni, which we all recognize would be invalid as chulin, certainly if it touched truma, it would posel it. Good. V'dor acher parich, and the next generation, this is what they would challenge. This is what Yochanan Zakkai anticipated as a challenge. Mala, sara shaveshven, shekein yesh behen sara chamur. One thing that Tful Yom and Kli Cheres have in common, is that they both have some sort of strange chumra to them. Tful Yom is himself avatuma, or is of the type that's an avatuma. A Kli Cheres has tuma me aviro, but food has none of those. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, nonetheless agree that there's a shlishi? Tzad chamur leparich. He doesn't think that that's a valid challenge, because the tzad chamur is not common to the two things. It's one different chumra here and a different chumra there. That demonstrates that neither of them could be the cause. All right, that's the history of it. Now, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yo, so that takes us up to, through Rabbi Kiva's limud, and through the background, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's background. Now we're going to take it one step further, post Rabbi Akiva. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva. Minayim l'revi bakodesh apostol. How do we know that a four-stage tuma, meaning four steps away from the avatuma, if it's kodesh, meaning it's meat of a korban, as an example, that it's pasul? In other words, the tuma can stretch that far. So he says, "Vidinhu, I could prove it from a kal v'chomer." Ma mechusar kippurim. Mechusar kippurim is, for instance, a zav, who on the seventh day went to the mikvah. It was a tful yom. That night, the sun went down. He was able to eat truma if he's a kohen. However, he's not allowed to eat kodshim until the next day when he brings his korban. That's called mechusar kippurim. Azav, azava, yoledet, and a metzora. Those are the mechusrei kippurim. Now, mechusar kippurim shemuta betruma. Remember, the night before and that morning before I brought the korban, he can already eat truma, pasul b'kodesh, but he's still distanced from kodshim. Shlishi shepasul betruma din shehushi asar vi b'kodesh. So therefore, a shlishi, which we have already recognized, is already pasul as far as truma goes. Remember, truma will certainly go to a third stage, certainly will invalidate Kodesh. In other words, a shlishi is more severe than a mechusa kippurim. And a mechusa kippurim is separated from kodesh and not allowed to be involved with kodeshim. Certainly, if truma, if a shlishi, which is posel but truma, touches a revi, that will make it a revi. But if it touches kodesh, it will make a tamei. Now, v'lamanu shlishi lekodesh minator ovi mikal v'chomer. So now here's what happens: the shlishi lekodesh we learn from a pasuk, as we'll see in a minute, and then the revi we learn from a kal v'chomer, not along with the pasuk is separate. The revi we learn from the kal v'chomer from chusa kippurim. Shlishi lekodesh minator minalan. What's the source? Where do we learn a shlishi lekodesh? Dichtiv abasara sheyiga b'chol tamei lo ye achel. Any meat, it's talking about the meat of kodeshim, that touches anything tamei may not be eaten. Now, what does the Torah recognize as tamei? Something that's a sheni. Certainly, well, even in chulin, the Torah recognizes tamei. Milo askin noga b'sheni. All right, so v'am rachmana lo yachel. So basar sheyiga b'chol tamei has to be interpreted as any kodeshim meat that touches anything we call tamei, which would be even a sheni. That means that a shlishi is already invalid for kodeshim. Ravi mekal v'chomer k'damran, and the Ravi was the kal v'chomer that we already stated. Good. Now, I'm Rav Yochanan, tam beribi eni yodem mahu. Rav Yochanan turns around and says, I do not understand Rav Yossi's reasoning. Beribi is a title, an honorific. He says, I don't understand his reasoning. Shrei tshuvato b'tzido. There is a slam directly against his kal v'chomer built in. Let's see. Ochel haba machmat tful yom yochiach. I can prove it to you from food touched by a tful yom. Shepasul betruma. After all, if a tful yom touches truma, it's pasul. Veino servi bekodesh, but it does not generate 2 stages later for tuma for kodeshim. How do we know that? Tetanya. Now we have a 3-way machloket, and that challenge rests on the idea that Rabbi Yossi rules like Rabbonan in this machloket. Let's see. Abashol omer tful yom tchila lekodesh. A tful yom is always considered to be a rishon. As far as Kodshim goes, he can generate it 3 stages later. He's Metame 1, which is Metame another, and the next one is Pasul. Alright, good. Rameir Omer, Metame Acharu Posel Achad. Rameir says he's Metame 1, and that is Posel the next one. So a Shlishi. V'chachomim Omerim, Keshem Sheposel Ochlei Truma Umashkei Truma, Kach Posel Ochlei Kodesh Umashkei Kodesh. Just like a Tful Yom, if he touches Truma, or drinks of Truma, it's pasul, but cannot generate further. Similarly, if he touches kodesh or kodshim drinks, then he's only posel and it can't go further. Just parenthetically, the word pasul, as used throughout the sugya and throughout the issue of tumat ochlin, means that it is invalid, but it cannot generate it further. Tamei always means that it is invalid and can generate it to the next stage. Now, matkif thorav papa. Rav Papa challenges this question of Rabbi Yochanan. Says, "Mimai do Rabbi Yossi k'rabbanan svirale?" Who says that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbanan in that brayta? Tuma kaba shol svirale. Perhaps he holds like Abba Shol. Da amar l'tamei shnayim tiv solachad. By the way, he could also hold like Rameir. It would be fine as long as the Rav Papa's basic question is, who says that he holds like Rabbanan, who say that a tful yom cannot generate tuma? He touches something, it becomes pasul, and that's it. Which means you then have a challenge against your kal v'chomer. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't understand. But Rabbi Yochanan's on solid ground. The answer is, Isalka daitach ka Abba Shol sfirlehu, sfirle. If you think that Rabbi Yossi held like Abba Shol, or like Rameir, light to the Viva Kodesh, miyochal ba machmat ful yom. Then he has a simple source for Viva Kodesh. That's what Abba Shol said. All he has to do is say, I know that Viva Kodesh exists because of Abba Shol. After all, tful yom is allowed to eat chulin. And nonetheless, he can generate 3 stages further. Amarto servi bakodesh. Ochel shlishi abam machmat sheni. So certainly food, which touched the sheni gufe also bechulin, because we understand that a sheni is also bechulin. Ein odin shal servi bakodesh certainly will be revi bakodesh. And the fact that Rabbi Yossi did not use that as a kal v'chomer proves that he must hold like Rabbanan, and therefore his kal v'chomer is internally backed up or destroyed. Mechitema, and you parenthetically, you might argue that the reason that Rabbi Yossi did not use that is mishum deika lemifrach, because somebody would challenge him and say malut v'liyom shkenav atuma, which we already saw. The fact that somebody is himself, a tful yom, is himself, or could be an avatuma, therefore, you cannot prove from that to the tuma generated by food. So, hayatina mechusa kippurim v'lo parche. That's not the case, because in his kavachomer that he actually used, he used mechusa kippurim as a model, and nobody challenged it, and he didn't challenge it. And say, oh, that's different, because mechusa kippurim, who certainly is an avatuma, he is the source of the tuma. Right? You'll let it, the zava, zava, and mitzvah are all avatuma. So that's certainly not the case. All right, so that ends this second piece. So again, to recap, the Mishnah had Rabbi Akiva's limud and gave us a little bit of history with Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. The Gemara immediately backed up and explained why in Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's time they felt that there was a shlishi, the possibility of a shlishi, at least as far as Truma goes. And then we moved from that to Rabbi Yossi's limud, which we then identified as being a little bit problematic, because it has a built-in, drop, and that is a challenge to the Kal Vachomer von Rabbi Yossi must himself hold about a tful yom, who even though he is posel b'truma, nonetheless he cannot generate Ravi b'kodesh, and we know that he must hold like Rabbanon, because otherwise he would have directly gone to Abba Shaul as his source. Okay, the end of this piece is a super alignment, as we would call it. Amrav Asi Amarav, Amrila Amarav Ben Isi Amarav. So, quoting Rav, somebody said the following: Rav Meir, 1, Rav Yossi, 2, Rav Yeshua, 3, Rav Elazar, 4, Rav Eliezer, 5, Kulu Sfira Lohudein Sheni Yosef Shlishi Bechulin. All five of them are in agreement with the principle that a Sheni cannot make a Shlishi Bechulin against Rav Akiva and our Mishnah. And against the ruling, against Rabbi Akiva and the Mishnah. Now, how do we know that each one of them holds this? We have to identify the sources. Rav Meir, Tinan, Kol HaTa'un B'Yatmai Midivrei Sofrim. This is a Sugyan Shabbat. Anybody who, this is a Sugyan, a lot of places, anyone who requires Tvila Midirabanan, meaning the Tame Midirabanan, Metame Et HaKodesh Uposel Et HaTruma. If they touch Kodesh, it's Tameh, which means it's Metameh further. They're Posel Truma, which means it itself is Posel. Umutar b'chulun v'maser. And they don't affect chulun v'maser at all. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Chacham osin maser. Chacham disagree about maser, but they agree about chulun. But here Rabbi Meir explicates quite clearly that there is no such thing as a shlishi l'chulun. That you have a shlishi l'truma and a revi l'kodesh, but you do not have a shlishi l'chulun. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Hadamran. Rabbi Yossi, we already saw. Dimite laita l'rvi b'truma v'chamisha b'kodesh. Because Rabbi Yossi, as we saw earlier, would have actually generated things one step further and said revi l'truma v'chamisha l'kodesh if he really held that there was a shlishi l'chulin, because in Rabbi Yossi's Kal Vachomer, in Rabbi Yossi's setup, remember, he started with the pasuk from Habasar, which indicated of Habasar shigab chol tameh, and he understood kol tameh meant a sheni. Right? However, if he held that midoraita, the Torah recognizes a shlishi as being tameh, then he could say Habasar shigab chol tameh would be a shlishi, and then that means that Ravi is already pasul me from the explicit text. The fact he doesn't do it indicates he does not hold that there's a shlishi b'chulin. Rabbi Yeshua, how do we know that Rabbi Yeshua holds Ein Sheni Osla Shlishi B'chulin? Detnan, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Ha'ochel Ochel Rishon Rishon. If somebody eats a food that itself is a Rishon, he becomes a Rishon. This is a Gzerad Ramana. This is what I was referring to a minute ago, the Sugyan Shabbat. Sheni, if he eats food that's a Sheni, Shlishi, Shlishi. If he eats food that's a Shlishi, he himself becomes a Shlishi. In other words, in a colloquial sense, you are what you eat as far as the status of Tumah goes. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ha'ochel Ochel Rishon, Ha'ochel Sheni, Sheni. The most that you can become is a Sheni. In other words, if you eat food that's a Rishon, you're Sheni. If you eat food that's a Sheni, you're also a Sheni. Shlishi, if you eat food that's a Shlishi, then Sheni B'Kodesh V'Ein Sheni B'Truma. You are a Sheni, but only as far as Kodshim goes, not for Truma. And only b'chulin shenasu al tara truma. That's only if what you ate was chulin that were done, that were treated, and this was something after the mikdash or the prushin, that were eaten with the standards of tahara normally reserved for truma. So al tara truma in al Taharat HaKodesh lo, but we never accord them the status of Taharat HaKodesh. Alma Kasavra and Sheni Osa Shlishi Bechulin. So we see that Rabbi Shua holds that a Sheni cannot make a Shlishi Bechulin. Rabbi Elazar, that Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shloshtan Shavin. He says that, that Shloshtan Shavin, referring to Truma, Chulin, and Kodesh. Harishon Sheva Kodesh Shechulin Sheva Truma Metami Shnayim Posel Achad BaKodesh. It can generate three steps later for Kodesh. Metami Achad Posel Achad BaTruma. In other words, if you're a Rishon, you can generate it three steps down for Kodesh, two steps down for Truma, Posel Achad BaChulin, and one step down for Chulin, which means you can only make a Sheni BaChulin, not a Shlishi. Rabbi Eliezer Ditnan. The following Mishnah in Chala. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Chala Nitalad Minat Tahora Al Hatmeah. You normally, when it comes to Trumot Masrot, you cannot separate fruit which is tahor to include and to cover that which is tameh or vice versa. Rabbi Lezer says with challah you can do it. How? You have two doughs. One is tahor, one is tameh. Now you can't give the kohen the tameh stuff. So what do? You take the amount of that's a challah separation from the dough that has not yet been separated. V'notein pachot mikabeitza ba'emtza. You put less than a kabeitza of dough in between the two. Kedei litom min hamukaf. So that what happens is when you separate, you're separating from one joined piece. Min hamukaf is a gzeirah d'rabbanan not to separate shalom min hamukaf. You have to separate from something that's conjoined. V'chachomim osrim. Chachomim disagree. But Rabbi Eliezer holds you can. Now let's see why. V'tanya kebetza. We have another version in which Rabbi Eliezer says you could even put a kebetza of food in the middle. Now remember, the kebetza is the minimum shear for tumat ochlin. That's going to play here. Now, savrua idibi savishona. Everybody, we assume that both versions, the version says less than, of Rabbi Eliezer, the version says less than a kebetza, and the version that says kebetza, agree that the isa itself was a rishon the tumah. They also agree with one principle, which is that chulin that have not yet had challah separated are not considered like challah. Meaning, the dough that you have that hasn't yet been separated isn't all considered the status of challah before you separated out the challah. My love, Bahakani Palgi. So we assume that the machloket between the versions of Rabbi Eliezer is, Demarsavar ain't sheni osa shlishi b'chulin, that the second opinion holds that a sheni cannot make a shlishi, therefore, this middle piece that you put in, that you put to join them can now not transfer tuma to the other one, because even if it's kibetz and it's big enough, since it can't go that far in chulin, therefore there's no concern. Umar sava sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. And the first version that we have, the one in the Mishnah that says less than a kibetza, holds that a sheni may make a shlishi b'chulin, and that's why you have to put a smaller amount than can possibly receive tuma in the middle so it won't generate it further. That's possibility one. Amar Merid Reidu Av Kahana, D'chuli Alma Ein Sheni Yosh L'Shishi B'chulin. No, just like all the other Tanaim that we've just seen, everybody except Rabbi Akiva, everybody agrees, meaning both versions, Kibetza and Pachot Mikibetza, agree that you cannot make, there is no such thing as a Shlishi B'chulin. V'acha B'chulin HaTvulin L'Chalak Mipalgi. Their machloket is about something else. Whether or not Chulin, that have not yet had Chala separated, are deemed to have the same status as Chala. Chala members like Truma. So Truma, remember, goes one step further for Tuma. Mar Savar Kachala Damu, Mar Savar Lal Kachala Damu. The second opinion that said you could put a kibetza holds that dough that has not yet been separated doesn't have the status of challah. It's like chulin, and therefore it cannot transfer it further. The first opinion holds that it is kachala damu, and therefore you have to put less than a kibetza so it doesn't transfer the tumah further. It's possible that both approaches, kibetza and less than kibetza, agree that chulin are not like challah, and a sheni can make a shlishi. They simply have machloket about whether you are lechatchil allowed to set a generate tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael. Marsav muta legrom tuma lechulin shemeret Yisrael. The second opinion that said kibetza, the second version said kibetza, holds that there's nothing wrong with generating a little extra tuma on chulin in Eretz Yisrael. Marsav asur legrom tuma lechulin shemeret Yisrael. And the first opinion that said you have to use less than a kibetza holds that you are not allowed to generate tuma l'chul in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore requires that you put less than a kibetza so the tuma is not generated and multiplied among this chulin. Okay, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next podcast, which will be a relatively short one, we will go back to the Mishnayot, study Mishnah Gimel, Dalet, and Hey, and after each one, the attendant Gemara about the issue of Arei Halvi'im, the issue of Shirat Hayam, and of Eov. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.